Welcome to Bible Talk, the program that gives Bible answers to Bible questions. This program is brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Your speaker is Lynn Huggins, preacher with the St. James Church of Christ.
The Lord wants His church to be united. But if we are to have unity and fellowship in the Lord's church, we must deny ourselves of what we want. As a matter of fact, a necessary requirement of being a Christian is to deny self. Matthew 16, verse 24, "Then Jesus said to His disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me.'" If we are to be true disciples of Christ, and if we are to be united in Christ as pleases the Lord, we must deny ourselves. What I think, how I feel, what pleases me are not the determining factors in the decisions I make. I must come to realize that it's not all about me. In the lesson today, I want to talk about some specific areas where we must understand that it's not all about me. First of all, salvation is not all about me. Someone posted a sign that said, "It's all about you," John 3, verse 16. Well, is this true? Well, let me say, first of all, this is partially true. Salvation is about us. God did give His Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so God gave His Son so that I should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus didn't only die for the flock, but He died for me. In a context of making sure we do not cause a weak brother to stumble, Paul refers to this brother as, quote, "one for whom Christ died," Romans 14, verse 15. And so Christ died for him. And if Christ died for him, then Christ died for me. And so Jesus loves me. Jesus died for me. But at the same time, salvation is not all about me. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is discussing how we have been chosen in Christ, predestined to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ. But to what purpose? Well, look at verse 6. He says, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved." What was Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection all about? Was it all about me? No. It was to the praise of the glory of His grace. It was to God's glory. Look at verse 12 here in Ephesians 1. "That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory." So what is God's plan of salvation all about? Well, it's not just to save us, but it is to God's glory. And so it's not all about me. In Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 19, Paul is expressing his prayer for these Christians. But what is this all about? Well, look at verses 20 and 21. "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." What is our salvation and spiritual growth about? Yes, it is to our benefit, but ultimately it is all about the glory of God, and may we never forget that. And then secondly, worship is not all about me. Now, it's true I need to worship, and it is for my good. In worship, we are edified. Read 1 Corinthians 14, verses 14 through 17. But worship is not all about me. You see, worship is offered to God. In worship, I must lay aside what appeals to me to do what pleases God. Worship is directed to God and therefore should be God-centered, not man-centered. Jesus said to the woman at the well in John 4, verses 23 and 24, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." We do not come together to show off the talents of men and to praise men. Men are not to be praised, but God is. You remember when Cornelius met Peter? Cornelius fell down at his feet and worshiped him, Acts 10, verse 25. Verse 26 says, But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." Since he was a man, he was not deserving of worship. In Revelation 22, verses 8 and 9, we read of John falling down to worship before the feet of an angel. And the angel said to him, "See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God." This means that worship must primarily be to God, about God, and for God. Well, unfortunately, a shift has taken place in many modern worshipers' focus of worship. Instead of focusing primarily on God, many modern worshipers focus primarily on themselves. The attitude is, "Here I am, now set me on fire. Give me something exciting. Entertain me. Make me feel good." Much worship today has digressed to be no more than entertainment for people. When we have concerts to entertain us in worship periods, we're not worshiping God, but we have become the spectators who are being entertained. But true worship is supposed to be adoration and honor rendered to God by the individual in the pew. God is the audience, and the worshipers are the performers, so to speak. In worship, we're not there to please ourselves, but to serve, honor, and please God. Now, since worship is directed to God, we should make sure that what we do in worship pleases Him, not ourselves. You know, some people go to worship and the worship period is dull and boring to them. They complain about how boring it is. And so some churches, in an attempt to solve the problem of dull and unexciting worship periods, introduce band performances and dramatic productions that include laser lights and other neat special effects to spice up their worship period. The attempt is to stimulate excitement in the worshipers by giving the worshipers what they want, rather than instructing the worshiper to give God what God wants. You know, the solution to dull and unexciting worship periods is to instruct the worshipers to love, honor, and reverence God. When the worshipers truly love God and want to honor Him, they will want to offer the worship that pleases Him, not themselves. If our worship is directed to God, surely we will want to engage in those acts of worship that we are sure are pleasing to God. You know, a gift offered to anyone whom we respect surely would not be something offensive to him, but that which we know will please him. No matter how pleasing the gift may be to us, if it is offensive to the receiver, should we give it? Well, someone says, "Well, it doesn't make a difference to God what we offer." Well, it does make a difference to God. You remember in Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 5, both Cain and Abel brought offerings to the Lord. The passage says, "And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering." Why? Well, because Abel brought the offering that God had commanded and Cain did not. You see, it did make a difference what they offered. In Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire before the Lord, which God had not commanded them. God was not pleased. Well, does it then make a difference what we offer to God in worship? Well, sure it does. The only way for us today to know what worship pleases God is to turn to His Word, the Bible, where He tells us what worship pleases Him. The problems of division and broken fellowship in how we worship can be solved when we all seek to honor and please God in our worship. It's all about God being the center. It's not all about me. And then thirdly, my religious convictions are not all about me. If I should ask you, who is the head of the church, what would you say? Well, of course, this is an easy question. Everyone knows that Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church. Colossians 1, verse 18. Well, does not the body act in obedience to the head? If my head says, "Go out that door," then my body goes out that door. The body functions in keeping with the dictates of the head. And if it doesn't, it is a sick body. We call it paralysis. Well, the church functions in keeping with the dictates of its head, Jesus Christ. Consequently, when I come up with what I believe in religion, I must understand that it's not all about me. My conviction should not be what I want, but what Jesus wants. Jesus said in Luke 6 and verse 46, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" We must believe and do what Jesus says. I cannot know what Jesus wants me to do unless I read it from His Word, the Bible. So many people want to filter everything they read in the Scriptures through their own minds, through their own emotions, through their own experiences. If it filters through, then they accept it. But if it does not filter through their own thinking, they reject it. But you see, it's not all about me. Who am I to place myself as a judge of what Jesus has said? Well, someone says, "But I am comfortable with the convictions I already have, and I don't want to change. Changing my convictions will mean I have to change my way of living." But it's not all about me, you see. If ever we're going to please the Lord and go to heaven, we must understand that my convictions are not all about me. If ever we're going to have that unity and that fellowship that the Lord desires of His people, then we must understand that our convictions are not all about us. We must always be willing to seek the Lord's will in all matters. And when we learn that we are wrong, we must have the courage to change. And then finally, heaven, our eternal abode, will not be all about me. Some people seem to think that heaven is a place where everything that they enjoyed here on earth will be there for them to enjoy for all eternity. If they enjoy playing golf, then they will be able to play golf to their heart's content in heaven. If they enjoy eating good food here, they will have the most delicious meals to eat for all eternity in heaven. The view is, it's all about me. Look at what I'm going to have. Look at what I'm going to enjoy. But you see, heaven is not going to be all about me. Heaven is going to be about God. You know, the book of Revelation gives us a glimpse into heaven. And no one can read this book and conclude that heaven is all about me. We see that God is in the center being worshiped and served. We will be worshiping and serving God for all eternity in heaven. Read Revelation chapters 4 and 5. Revelation 22 and verse 4 says, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him." For the one who has made serving and pleasing God the primary goal of his life here, heaven, then, is a pleasing prospect. You see, it's not all about me, but it's all about God. May we somehow see ourselves where we belong in this whole scheme of things and humble ourselves before the great God and be grateful for the fact that in all of His greatness, in all of His magnificence and glory and splendor, He has saved me. He accepts my worship. He has given me His Word to study, learn, and obey, and that He has made it possible for me one day to be around that throne to worship and serve Him for all eternity. Yes, we are the beneficiaries. We are blessed. But it's not all about me.
Our time is gone for today, but before we close, I want to announce a special series of meetings that will be conducted by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Now, the date for this series of meetings is March 29th through April the 3rd. C.G. Colley Caldwell from Temple Terrace, Florida, will be with us and will present lessons on the book of Ephesians. Mr. Caldwell has written a commentary on the Epistle to the Ephesians in the Truth Commentary series, and we are delighted that we will be able to hear the fruits of his study in this series of lessons. Now, that's March the 29th through April the 3rd. We will be meeting at our regular times on Sunday and then 7 o'clock each evening, Monday through Friday. Come and be with us. Now, our meeting house is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James. That's where Sydney Street and Highway B intersect.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. You are invited to the services of the St. James Church of Christ, Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible classes and 10:15 for worship, Sunday evening at 5 for worship, Wednesday night Bible classes at 7. The church building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James, where Sydney Street and Highway B intersect. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week at this same time for Bible Talk.